about a journey that you once took. You may not remember it. It was a long time ago, and you've never been back to that place. And you almost certainly made this journey. Nearly everyone has. It was a voyage by water, a marine expedition, actually submarine. When you were smaller than a poppy seed, you sailed forth. You embarked on a rolling, cascading, a four-day journey down a fallopian tube. Now, I know this is strange. Strange for us to think about. And strange even for me to talk about. It pushes the envelope on our ability to see and embrace the truth. But this was really you. No one asked if you were ready. You received no instructions. And no one said, "Do you want to be born?" It's entirely up to you, you know. No one showed you how, but you put to sea. For the first days of your life, you floated free. Now imagine if you had been conscious. They say consciousness flickers in at human life at about 24 weeks. But imagine if you had been fully conscious right there from the beginning. An embryo, a tiny cluster of cells. You spin, you twirl, you tumble at the mercies of forces beyond you. Had you been conscious, you'd have come to one of two conclusions. Either a merciless current is sweeping me away, or a guiding current is carrying me to where I need to be. In other words, you would have had to make a choice. Panic or trust. But for now, as a tiny embryo, it's not your choice to make. You can only float. Let the current carry you. It's as if the dial had been preset for trust. As if reliance on a power greater than yourself had already been prearranged. You see, at the beginning, you did not have the ability to say no to your own life. God said yes, and that was that. God wanted you. So God did not put that choice in your hands. Not just yet. In fact, God commanded you to be. In the exact cadence of his words at the beginning of creation itself, God said, "Let there be Justin. Let there be Elizabeth. Let there be Maya." And it was so. You came to be, and God saw that you were very good. Comes a time, though, when you must choose. Scripture tells us today in that lesson from the Old Testament, "I have set before you life and death," says God. "Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live." Then God tells you how to make that choice. God says, "But if your heart turns away to worship other gods, you shall surely perish." In other words, the way to choose life is to never choose death. Never turn away from God. The dial is preset for life, for trust. It's ingrained in our DNA. Keep it there. It's as if your life has been designed for trust. True, our life is a perilous journey. Think about tubing on a raging river. But keep trusting. Don't panic. Just as he did in our embryonic leg of our journey on life, today, as you're sitting here, God is still guiding you. Just as he did when you cascaded down the fallopian tube, the Lord still carries you. You were created to listen to the words of the Lord. Listen to the one who knows you, who knows your entire journey. But this is how we choose death. We start taking our cues from the impressive powers of our sophisticated world, also known as other gods. They say, "Surely you are no longer a child," beckons the worldly voice. Surely you have arrived at maturity. You have accepted that there was never even a God. Take matters into your own hands. You must, of course, because you have no choice. And as obedient sheep, we said, of course, to the world. Of course, you're right. The matter's delicate. We'd like to trust God, but with our lives, with this, we best to see it ourselves. In so doing, we say no time and time again. We say no to trust. No to God. And therefore, no to our own lives. You see, we broke away from God's guiding current in His Word. And we do it every day. We choose death. So how do we celebrate life? How do we affirm life today as it's what God wants us to be? We affirm life as God's people by always seeing to it that life is kept holy, that babies are born, even in the case of rape and incest, and even when doctors suggest that a baby may have disabilities. The only Christian, God-loving, life-affirming reason for a termination of pregnancy is when a mother's life is at risk. That's it. People across the world are actively trying to conceive a child, and it's sickening when they can't, and those who treat their unborn children treat them like a piece of trash in our world. It's been since 1973, and we act like we just don't care. We move on with the rest of our lives as if hundreds of thousands of millions of unnecessary death is occurring. We just move on with our day-to-day life, and we don't think twice about it. And so today we have to say something, if it's one day a year. So how do we affirm life? Again, we support adoption agencies. If we're going to say we want people to be born, we have to be able to be ready to support life. We visit shut-in members at the end of their life. We visit the old members of our church instead of relying on maybe even me as your pastor or elders to do it. We visit the elderly in assisted living homes, in nursing homes. We affirm life by taking care of our own bodies, by watching what goes in it, whether that's excessive food or alcohol or drugs, and by watching what comes out of our bodies, especially our mouths, gossip, lies, cursing, criticism, complaining. That's how we affirm life. We take care of the people God gave us to be our family. We talk to them regularly. We speak well of these people. And we don't let political views shelter them from us. You see, human life is way too precious to act like this life doesn't matter. Yes, we are Christians, and yes, we want all to go to heaven. Yes, we want to value our souls, but God made you a body and soul. Don't forget that. And yes, we all want eternal life, but you can't value this life that God gave you now. And if we can't do that, what makes you think we're going to enjoy it when Jesus comes back? So, picture this, a young woman named Mary. She's a tall 26-year-old from Pennsylvania. She's already in the sixth grade. Mary wanted to be a nurse like her mother. She watched strangers greet her mother with tearful gratitude. She watched her mother love them generously. And Mary could see that her mother was someone who made a difference in the world. And that's what Mary wanted even as a little girl. After high school, Mary went to Villanova University. She not only excelled in her classes, but she led a campus organization called Nurses Without Borders. And Mary came to see that nursing was more than a practice of medicine. She saw nursing as a way to wade into the inescapable issues of social justice in our world. And in her senior year, Mary began to think God might be calling her to make a difference on a larger scale. So Mary went and earned a PhD in community health. And along the way, however, two things happened. First, she realized, as you all know today, that healthcare is a global issue. So she applied and was accepted to the London School of Economics. The second thing was Michael. She met her soulmate in school. They found a house and Mary flew over to start classes in London while Michael wrapped up things at home. The day before Mary's classes began, however, Michael called. He wasn't moving to London with her. He'd been offered a job in New York, a position too good to pass up, and the phone call got ugly. And Michael broke up with the woman that he loved. Mary was furious and sick to her stomach. Sick to her stomach? Mary wondered, am I feeling queasy because my life is falling apart, or am I queasy because she got a pregnancy test, and it came back positive. She panicked. My life is going down the tube, she cried. What's happening to me? For half a second, she entertained the notion of having the baby. Wait, am I out of my mind? Michael's baby, that jerk? And besides, I can't even make a global difference and raise a child on top of it, too. But wait, couldn't God have prevented the pregnancy? Did Mary have her baby? And did Michael come to his senses, quit his job, fly to London, beg for forgiveness from the woman he loved, open his hand to reveal a beautiful ring and ask her to marry him? And is Mary trusting God for the well-being of her child, for her own education, for her calling, for her entire impossible life? And was it through that experience that Mary finally discerned God's call for her life? Is that how she devoted her life to formulating and advocating for pro-human public health? If so, this could only have happened through the things by which God guides us still. The people who love us and cheer us on. God's word in his scripture that cheers us on. Our own conscience that keeps us driving forth. Through these, God nudges, he guides, he carries us still. An ever-unfolding, astonishing journey in our lifetime. Or did Mary abort her baby? Did she believe the lie that even God couldn't find a way to carry both her and the baby on this journey of life? Did Mary trade trust for panic? Did she take matters into her own hands? And was it after the abortion that she finally began to slip into church every now and then to pray? Oh God, love me again. As you have always carried my life, carry also my guilt. Carry it to the cross and suffer it away. And kneeling in a church, does Mary now look up at the statue of those nail-pierced hands and plead that somehow Christ still holds her baby in his hand? And was it through this very experience that Mary finally discerned God's call? Is that how she devoted her life to formulating and advocating for pro-human public health? Well, if so, this could only have happened either way, because even though every human being has turned away from him in panic and rebellion, God found a way, the cross. The cross to carry us still in the strong current of his abiding word, his pure and amazing grace. It's through the cross that whatever decision is made in life, God still holds us. These two choices in life, for some people, are vastly different. To give birth to a child or to end its life. Because that's what it is, a life. But one thing is the same. To choose Jesus is to choose life. Because Jesus holds every life, even the tiniest, in the nail-scarred palm of his hand. And the fact of the matter is, whether we wanted him or not, Jesus chose you. So today, choose life. At the beginning and at the end, choose life. Amen.